another edition of the Calgary Stampeder podcast. I'm Dave Rowe.
And I'm Jock Wilson. And you know what we're going to do today, Dave? We're going to do something a little bit different because, you know, earlier on the podcast, and especially if you have downloaded the podcast for Valentine Vovo, you've probably heard our two features we did with our play-by-play team, the outstanding play-by-play team of Mark Steven and Greg Peterson, the longest-serving play-by-play team in the Canadian Football League. They've been together more than a lot of couples have been together in this city, you know, for 23 years. And we got to go inside and talk a little bit about their history and growing up and where they got their start and, you know, some of their stories from the broadcasting industry. So over the next two podcasts, I'm going to interview you, and then you're going to interview me, and we're going to get to know, you know, the rest of the team a little bit better.
We're because like the other couple on the broadcast.
The other couple, you know, on the broadcast. That's well, and it's interesting because Greg and Mark, both born and raised in Calgary.
Yeah.
You and I, a little bit different. We're both born and raised in B.C.
And we go back even farther than those two because it goes back to some boozy games between the Edmonton and Calgary media hockey teams in the 1980s.
Isn't that true? Well, first of all, so we're going to focus more on your career.
Okay.
Because you've been with the Calgary Stampeder broadcast team for about 10 years now, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and you replaced Billy Powers, which, you know, that's always tough. When you replace, a legend like Billy Powers, was that tough on you?
It was something I had to think about because, I mean, I, of course, was working in sports media in town. Everybody knows I worked for the Fan,
right?
Okay, and
right.
So I was working.
It's not a secret.
Yeah, I was working for the Fan at the time, and as so many things in my career were, this was just a happy accident. I mean, I knew Billy was retiring. Everyone knew he was retiring, and I hadn't even thought about it. And I ran into Billy at Spilumbo's, and we just, you know, got to talking, and Billy says, "Why don't you apply for the job?" And I'm like, Why don't I? and I mean, and again, if I've got, you know, a guy like Billy Powers, who's been such a legend in this community, if he's asking me to apply for his job, then that's that's kind of flattering. And so I went ahead and applied for the job and got it. I wouldn't say replace Billy. I'd say I followed.
Followed Billy.
You don't replace a guy like that. You follow a guy like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, when Billy said, hey, you know, it would be great if you were the next guy in that chair, then that was something that you take as an honor.
Okay, well, let's go back a little bit further. As I mentioned, you were born in BC. So tell me the Dave Rowe story. Where did you get your start in this industry? Where did you grow up? Tell me a little bit about your history.
Well, I was born in the fabulous metropolis of Kitimat, British Columbia.
Kitimat, okay.
The aluminum capital of Canada up north. The family moved around a bit, chasing work with Dad. He worked for BC Tel, the phone company. We ended up settling in Richmond in the lower mainland, just outside of Vancouver.
Okay.
Grew up there, and I was going to high school at Matthew McNair Senior Secondary, and it was a careers day. We were trying to fit what we had to do is all the different post-secondary institutions were coming up, and they were offering lectures about what kind of programs they had. And truth be told, BCIT had a really attractive lecturer. So my buddies and I all signed up for the BCIT lecture, and I found out they had this broadcasting program. And so, wow, I said, that's kind of sounds like fun. Like, I'd, you know, been involved in, you know, acting and stuff like that. You know, also, you know, love sports, playing football. And so I decided that I wanted to go into that. It was a tough program to get into. I did a couple of years while I was going to high school, volunteer work with the local cable 10 station to get some chops in camera work, on air work, and was lucky enough to get into that program when I got out of high school.
Well, that's cool. So where did you get your start in the industry?
In Castlegar, British Columbia.
Castlegar.
I was midway through my second year at BCIT when you start going out on the co-op programs. That's where, you know, you get a job and finish your degree like through correspondence. And one of the head instructors came in and said, there's this job in Castlegar. So I said, okay. So I applied for it and was able to get the job. And the first thing I had to say was, great, where's Castlegar?
And you're a BC boy too.
Yeah. So once I found it on the map, I went out and started off in Castlegar. I mean, and that was a great, back in the day, small town radio, I mean, as you know, was the only way to start in this career because, you know, you did everything. I mean, I was a DJ, you read your own news, you read your own sports, you know, you do your own production. I even got to do a game or two of play-by-play because we did the games for the Castlegar Rebels of the Kootenai International Junior Hockey League. So I got to do a couple of fill-in games there, and that's that's sort of where the sports got started.
Okay, so take me on your journey. You start your career in Castlegar. Yep. So how do you end up in Calgary?
I go from Castlegar to Williams Lake, and Williams Lake was a balance between I was like DJing and covering local sports there. Williams Lake Mustangs hockey, that kind of thing. I went up to Prince Rupert and Terrace, where I was primarily a news guy. Went out to Saskatoon, where I worked as a news guy for a little over a year. This takes us up. We're getting into the middle of 1980s now. They're all starting to blur together. From there, I went to Edmonton, and I was a combination of news and sports, and that's where I really started to get my first big league sports experience. I got to, I was, as I always say, I was covering the Edmonton Oilers when they were the Oilers with, Wayne Gretzky, Mark Messier, got to cover back-to-back Stanley Cups. Also covered one of the first games I covered was the Steve Smith own goal. So I got to deal with that. Also, the Edmonton Eskimos when they were still winning lots of championships. So Joe Farigelli was the coach of Edmonton back then. And he's one of the most important figures to me in terms of sports broadcasting because I did a sports show at the time. And Joe Farigelli was the first guy that sort of really made me feel welcome. You know, it's just like, hey, kid, you're a legitimate part of the sports core. Nice. You call me up anytime. Also, working with guys like Hugh Campbell. The three quarterbacks the first year I covered the Eskimos were, the starter was Matt Dunnigan, Damon Allen was the second stringer, and the third stringer was Tracy Hamm. So that was, that was some pretty good teams.
Well, and I'm going to go off track here a little bit because one of my questions was, who were broadcasters that, influenced your career? Was there anybody you looked up to?
I had a guy named Dave Prentice that I worked with in Williams Lake. Okay. He was a longtime broadcasting pro, and I just looked at the way that he carried himself, and the way that he prepared for his job. And he was someone I always admired and always looked up to. Another guy I worked with in Prince Rupert named Al Seville, who was a bit of a foul mouth, bit of a grumpy old guy, but had some pretty good advice for a young kid about staying focused and staying on track and remembering why you're doing this in the first place.
So we got the Dave Rowe career to Edmonton.
Yep.
And it's a funny story because you and I, that's how you and I got to know each other for the first time, because there was a media hockey league and, we had the Edmonton team playing the Calgary team and you and I became pretty good buddies. And actually you came and stayed with me during the 1988 Winter Olympics with my ex-wife and that was fun, but we won't go down that path. But
that's a whole other podcast.
That's a whole other podcast. That's exactly right. But I do want to ask you, so you're in Edmonton. How do you end up in Calgary?
Well, how do I end up in Calgary? I was working in Edmonton. I was on a contract at a station called CFRN. And the contract ended, and I was looking for work. So I started calling around pretty much everyone I knew in the industry. And I called this guy named Jock Wilson, who was working for Kick FM down in Calgary. And I said, hey, you know of anywhere that's looking for somebody? And he said, yeah, well, we're looking for a news guy. So the next thing you know, you and I are working together.
Yes,
this is 1990 now.
I know.
So I arrive in Calgary at the behest of one Jock Wilson. You, of course, were the sports guy.
Yep.
I was doing more news, but I helped out. Like, I was doing a little bit of sports on the side.
But then I left like a month later because I joined the Calgary Flames broadcasting.
Yeah, you went off to the Calgary Flames broadcast, and so I started doing more sports with Kick FM. Moved from there on to Country 105, where I was primarily a news guy, but again, still involved with sports. I was actually doing a little bit of sports for Country 105, but also I was doing some magazine writing. A friend of mine was running a sports card collecting magazine at the time when the sports card hobby was just huge. So I was doing a bunch of feature articles for him on Calgary athletes, Calgary collectors, that kind of thing. So was always, even though I was in news a lot of the time, I sort of kept my toe in sports. So I was known around the Calgary community for sports as well as for news. From there, it was a couple of years out of the industry selling cars.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and then another chance encounter with our old pal Beasley, who is of course the PA announcer now for the Calgary Flames. And I ran into Beasley. He was hosting a Monday Night Football event, and he said, "Hey, the Fan is looking to expand its sports program because, you know, at the time, they're, you know, they weren't doing much in the way of of local programming, but they said they're looking to expand. So I got on with the Fan, and that was 2004, I believe, just in time for the start of the Calgary Flames renaissance and playoff run. And that was a great thing to be a part of, watching this town fall back in love with the Calgary Flames. Also at the time, Blake Neil came on as the head coach of the Calgary Dinos. And this was a huge event for me in my career because Blake wanted to raise the profile of the program and came to the station saying, look, you know, we want to get these games on the air. So I was approached to do the Dinos games along with Tony Spalatini. And again, that sort of became something that defined me and also allowed me to really get that part of the craft down, play-by-play broadcasting, live football broadcasting. So I'll always be grateful to Blake Neil and the Calgary Dinos for giving me that opportunity.
Okay, so we get Dave Rowe to Calgary as a broadcaster, and so we've learned a lot about Dave Rowe. This is live radio that we do a lot of times, and there are lots of highs, lots of lows, memorable moments, not so memorable moments. What stands out for Dave Rowe in your career? Either funny moments or mistake moments that you go, uh-oh, that was not good.
Well, there was, on the funny side, there was, I'm going back to when I was working in Williams Lake, because we were doing, again, it was the local junior hockey league. We had a guy named Brian Orr who worked at our Quesnel station. He was the play-by-play guy, and I was the color guy for these games, the Quesnel Millionaires and the Williams Lake Mustangs. And all I'll say about this first story is that Quesnel had a defenseman named Wes Gentles.
Wes Gentles.
Wes Gentles.
Okay.
And you can imagine where that went. So that was about 30 seconds of dead air. There was also another one. We did we did Williams Lake Commercial Men's Fastball broadcast.
Okay.
And there was a really talented shortstop named Doug Dodge. And Doug went to play a really difficult hopper that came up on him at a bad angle. And so we were struggling at how to define this, and I finally came up with in the groin area.
Okay.
And another 30 seconds of dead air. After,
what else are you going to say?
After that one.
You got it in the family jewels, for God's sake.
Yeah, so hey, you know, you gotta learn to work around these moments. For highlights, just for personal highlights, I got to say, this may make some Calgary Flames fans, grind their teeth a little bit. But I remember the first time I was at a Stanley Cup playoff game with the Edmonton Oilers. And it was, of course, it was the year after, because the year I arrived was the year that the Flames took them out in the Steve Smith game. And so the first full year I covered the club was the year that they went to the finals against the Philadelphia Flyers. So being in the building for game one and just hearing that sound, and I didn't hear that sound again until 2004 in game one of the playoffs when the Calgary Flames were back. But, at the time, I was in my early 20s.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe where I was, and I just couldn't stop smiling. And that was an incredible moment. The 88 Olympics, being able to rub elbows with media from around the world, meeting some legends, people that I'd looked up to in my career. And all of a sudden, you realize where you are and the scope of the event that you're at. And that's just something I'll never forget.
Well, these have been some great stories. And, it's interesting because some people probably don't. You did play football, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's not well and not long. But I played a couple of years in high school this is kind of sad to admit, but in Richmond, we had three schools all that played football. You had the Steveston Packers and the Richmond Colts, who were in the lower mainland, the Premier League, the top league. And Matthew McNair, and we were in the Fraser Valley League. And so one of the reasons I went to McNair was because I knew I'd never be good enough to play for Richmond or Steveston.
And what position did you play?
So I bounced around a little bit through high school, settled, I was an offensive lineman. I was a guard. I was a 5'7" guard, backup center. And I went on to, we had juvenile football in BC. There's juvenile and junior ball, like the Calgary Colts.
Right.
You played your first 2 years out of high school, you played juvenile ball, and then you graduated to the junior program. And I was with the old Vancouver Marilomas, and I was switching the defensive line And I remember my first practice with the Maralomas, and they said all the linemen over here. And so I go walking over with the linemen, and I'm looking at everybody's numbers. And I'm thinking, yeah, this is going to be tough. So I spent a couple of years as a 5'7" defensive lineman getting beat up.
There you go.
Played my last game in the rain at Old Empire Stadium in Vancouver.
Oh, that's cool.
Ended in a one-all tie because it was it was horrible. It was driving, freezing rain, and I sat watching the clock tick down to zero. It was like the field conditions were so bad.
That's funny.
Yeah, you couldn't even kick a single because the ball weighed about 20 pounds.
Now, I know you're a rec hockey player and you still play a little bit of rec hockey with the media boys, but did you ever play competitive hockey or any other sports competitively?
No, in the lower mainland in the 1970s, ice hockey wasn't a really big thing.
Okay.
It was, it's only when you get to, towards, the 1980s and that some of the programs around the West Coast, but not a lot of my buddies played ice hockey. We played street hockey. My house was the street hockey house because I lived on a quieter street and I had a net. So, every afternoon in front of my place, that was the street hockey game basically until it was time for dinner. If street hockey had been an Olympic sport,
you were in.
I'd be Haley Weckenheiser. Sadly, no.
Exactly right. Well, I know we got to wrap up this Calgary Stampeder podcast, and it's been very interesting getting to know Dave Rowe a little bit better. But before I wrap it up, I asked Mark and I asked Greg the same question, and tell me something that I don't know about Dave Rowe, because we all know you're into collector cars and you have a nice Buick and that kind of stuff. Is there something else about Dave Rowe that we don't know?
I'm a little bit of a science geek.
Are you?
Yeah. Growing up, I was just an absolute junkie for the Apollo space program. It's, while everyone else is out collecting baseball cards and all that, I'm building models of the lunar module.
That's
and collecting
cool.
all the sticker books of Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. And that's, that interest in that sort of stuff has always stayed with me. Quantum physics, a little bit of a hobby on the side.
Wow, you're a geek.
Yeah, not that great at math, but still, I get the broad strokes, Chuck. The broad strokes.
Well,
we'll talk about M theory.
You know what, Dave? This has been kind of fun. I get to know you a little bit better, and I thought I knew you really well, and now I've learned some more stuff about you. So thanks for joining us on the podcast.
It's your turn next, pal. So if you want to hear anything you want to hear on the Calgary Stampeder podcast, we'd love to hear from you. Just to drop us some ideas. Also, please take the time to rate us, let you know what you think of what we're doing. We're available every Thursday, everywhere you get to your Calgary Stampeders and all of the other podcasts. He's Jock Wilson.
Yes, I am.
And I'm Dave Rowe, and thanks for tuning in to the Calgary Stampeder podcast.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.